In the wine cellars, Dandon and Saxtus followed Gabe Quill. His nephew, Duddy, carried the lantern for them as Gabe pointed out some of his specialities.
See that little keg yonder, aye, Dandon? Well, that's the best wild plum brandy ever fermented in these cellars. They do say it was made by Big Brown Spike Quill, my ancestor. Marvellous stuff it is. One ton of that would cure a drowning fish. That's why Sister Sage or Simeon are the only beasts who use it, medicinal purposes. That big ton barrel at the back now, that's dandelion beer. Very good of a cold winter's night with toasted cheese. This one here, you must try this rascal. Funniest drink I ever did make. It was meant to be buttercup and honey cordial, but I made it too sweet, so I takes a herb here and a plant there and chucks them into bitter in a touch. Mercy me, it didn't go any less sweet. No, sir, it started a fizzin' and bubblin'. Letlands do love it dearly. Here, try some.
Dandon, Saxtus and Duddy stood wide-eyed as Gabe Quill tapped the barrel and drew three small beakers off. The bright yellow cordial popped, fizzed and gurgled as if it were alive. Drinking it proved almost impossible. Gabe Quill stood by, quaking with mirth as the three young ones tried.
Oh, it's gone right up my nose.
It tickles all the way down.
Oh, golly, it's like having a tummy full of mad butterflies.
Gabe took a jug over to his cider barrel.
Do you want a drinking cider or a cooking cider?
Oh, a cooking one, I suppose. Whoops. sorry, it's for Mother Mellis. She's baking horse chestnuts for the Jubilee. That stuff could tickle you to death, Mr. Quill.
Well, it's certainly got you young'uns all of a wiggle. You'll never make it upstairs carrying a jug of cider. Sit down now and sip some of this cold motherwort tea. That'll calm you a bit.
Above stairs in the kitchens, Friar Alder was at his wit's end. The foremole and his team had decided to make the biggest raspberry cream pudding ever seen in Mossflower Country. Alder threw his hat down and danced upon it.
Flour, raspberries, honey and cream everywhere. I can't stand it.
Formole ignored him, but a fat mole named Buxton waved a reassuring paw at the harassed Alder.
Brr, don't you afraid yourself, master. Ussins knows what we're about.
A young mole named Dante, white with flour from tail to tip, climbed into one of the huge copper stockpots.
Ooray, don't ye fret thy whiskers, Sir Alder. You, Burgo, tipple some of the rabseries in here, and mind that garlic don't get near him.
Burgo turned indignantly to Formole, who blanched at the smell of the wild garlic Burgo always carried. His voice sounded squeaky through the peg he wore at the tip of his snout.
Yeah, what's Dante rumbling on about? I don't like the smell of garlic neither. That's what I always pegs me nose up tight. Oh, look it, little grubs fell in the honey.
Formole fished baby grub out of the panful of warm honey.
Grr, you tiny raxel. What do you want to fall in an honey for?
Grub waved a sticky carefree paw.
Better falling in honey than mud, I allus says. Bain't nothing wrong with honey, bees make sense.
Formole wrinkled his button nose, nodding in agreement.
Oh, the child be right. He'd be growing up wisely clever. Stand over there and lick thyself off, little grub. Buxton, Dubber, see what you can do for Sir Alder. He fainted right away. Don't leave him a-lying there in yon rapsery pudding mixture.
From the kitchen doors, Abbot Burnett stood watching the proceedings, with Simeon chuckling beside him.
My, those moles are certainly teaching Friar Alder a thing or two, Bernard. His kitchen will never be the same again.
Indeed, Simeon. Excuse me a moment, will you? Brother Ash, would you help those little mice to roll that great cheese they're trying to move? If it falls on one of them, he'll be flattened. Tree Rose, I don't wish to interfere. But is that a woodland summer cream pudding I can smell beginning to burn in the ovens?
Tree Rose had been bustling about, efficiently attending to several things at once. However, she had forgotten the woodland summer cream pudding she had put in the oven some time before. Panic-faced, she dashed off to attend to it. Simeon nodded in admiration.
Your sense of smell is getting better, Bernard.
Thank you, Simeon. But I had a double motive. Tree Rose is very pretty, but far too efficient and snippy. It will teach her that even the best of us can make mistakes. Also, I would hate a woodland summer cream pudding to be burnt in the ovens, especially hers. To tell the truth, and I wouldn't tell her, Tree Rose does make the best woodland summer cream I've ever tasted.
Tree Rose arrived at the ovens, grabbed up a cloth, and swung the door wide.
My pudding! It's gone!
I smell the crust edges just begin to scorch, so I pulled it out for you.
She turned to see Roof Brush standing by her pudding, which was set on the big flat cooling slate. Roof was a rough-looking squirrel, not given over much to hanging about kitchens or joining the growing band of Tree Rose's admirers. He sniffed at the pudding before sauntering off.
Looks all right to me.
Tree Rose watched him go. What a fine bushy tail, well-pointed ears and powerful shoulders. Mother Mellis banged a ladle upon a saucepan.
Come on, all you dibbons, bedtime now.
Abbot Bernard yawned.
I think I'll join the dibbons, Simeon.
Me too, Bernard. It's been a long day and we're getting no younger, my friend. I'll just take a stroll first and check that all the outer gates are secured.
Simeon, the blind herbalist, placed a paw on his friend's shoulder.
Right, I'll come with you.
No, you won't. I can sense your weariness. Besides, what could you see in the dark that I could not feel 10 times better? Day and night are alike to me.
Oh, you're right, of course. Good night, Simeon.
Good night, Bernard. Sleep well.
The abbot went off to his room, knowing that shortly the kitchen fires would be damped for the night, the cooks would retire, and peace would settle over his beloved Redwall Abbey.